Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, Janine here, and welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. With me today, I have Courtney Dawn. Now, Courtney is a passionate woman who aspires to positively help others and love themselves and their lives. Courtney is a secondary teacher and also founder of and director of Her Future, which runs workshops for young ladies and women on different topics to help them to become more resilient and happy. Welcome, Courtney.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, look, no, thank you for joining me. I'm loving this conversation because you work with young women in particular, and it's a little bit different than the people that I usually interview. But it's so important, I believe, because our beliefs of, as a young person obviously reflects what we do in our lives and who we think we are and who we grow.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And there's definitely a need for it, let me tell you.
Yeah. Now, tell me what you believe in. You know, what's got you on this road?
Okay, where do I start? I think as far as my beliefs is, it's just the importance of self-love and self-confidence and having a better direction of who you are from a younger age and what you want to do and what direction you want to go into related to your passions. And I think just starting that conversation with young women to help them understand how important it is, you know, their thoughts and their actions and how those kinds of things end up really affecting the path that they'll end up taking, but just kind of being a really good role model. But I guess what I really believe in is how everyone has a purpose or a calling, but a lot of people, I don't think there's a certain time you have to recognize that, but just starting that conversation earlier and helping young women to establish their passions. Okay. But what I've really found from the work that I've done is it's not just young women, which was really surprising to me. It's all women. I've run some workshops for women as well in general. And, you know, that self-confidence and that self-talk and having that direction, it's just as important to have those conversations and essentially give them the tools. Like, that's my biggest thing. It's great to have the conversation and talk to them and inspire them and then walk out and be like, wow, that was so good. But I don't just want to be that person. I want to be the person that they walk away and they think, okay, I'm actually going to try to like do this little habit for the next 3 weeks and to create change in their own life. So in any workshop that I run, in any event that I'm part of, I always try to give one or two tools. I also found that you can't give them too many because it's like really overwhelming. But one or two tools that they can take away and actually use to help to start to change your life.
I think that is incredibly valuable because it's one thing to be, you know, leave a presentation or a workshop motivated, but you see it all the time that people will go away and they don't make the changes. They feel good for that 5 minutes, but they don't make the changes in their lives. But having tools obviously means that they've got something to work with. So that's, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. Now, obviously that's not an Australian accent, Courtney.
No, I'm originally from Canada.
Mm-hmm. So from the really cold area of Canada, but it's all really cold in winter.
Yeah, it gets pretty cold. I mean, there's definitely some provinces that get a little bit colder. I'm lucky. I'm from Calgary, Alberta. So in the wintertime, we actually get Chinooks. So it's the warm winds from the mountains.
Okay.
And so you'll have like a minus 30 day. And then the next day will be like plus 10, plus 15. So people will be like wearing shorts. It's crazy. Like the weather in Calgary, you can never predict it. I feel so bad for weather people there.
That I've been to Calgary a few years ago, and it was but during summer, so it was just warm, and it's a gorgeous city. Just loved it.
Yeah, it's funny how you end up appreciating, you know, so much when you're away. So like growing up, the Rockies are just normal. Like you don't have that profound wow, they're so big and beautiful and like different from other places in the world. So definitely moving away, I have a new appreciation, but I feel the same way about your beaches. I'm like, wow, you guys grew up around beaches. You're so lucky.
It's completely different lifestyle. So you're here now in Australia and this is permanent. This is your place you choose to be.
I think so. I mean, my family would hate to hear that, but I think, and we've talked about it before, I'm such a believer that life ends up working out how it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. And it's just so interesting, I guess, how I've gotten here and where I am right now. Because it's, you know, and I talk in my workshops, I use my life as examples all the time. But if I had planned my life 5 years ago, you know, I would have been teaching in Canada. I would have, you know, bought a bigger house and had a family by now and been married and maybe, you know, looking at becoming a principal. And the plan that I had, even though like I'm a very goal-oriented person, is so different to the plan that life had for me. And I could have never planned like where I am right now. And so I always explain, you know, it's great to plan and to be moving towards those goals, but be open-minded and take those different opportunities because you never know where life's going to take you. And I feel like my life's such a prime example of that. I ended up meeting Matt, my partner, in Canada. We dated for about 2 years. And then I kind of tried to decide, well, can I expect him to stay here forever when, you know, he's from across the world and stuff. So I ended up giving up my permanent teaching position, which is unheard of for a brand new teacher, and left my home, my family, my friends to come here. And then, yeah, it's just crazy how it's worked out. And I've somehow established what I missed about teaching in that role model role and that niche of, you know, what these young women needed, because Australia schools have the same problem that our schools had. And that's, you know, the curriculum is really important, but they get out of school and they don't really have the life skills. They don't have the resilience. They don't understand the importance of self-talk, of having tools like learning to be grateful to help them be more positive. And so I ended up creating my business, and started running the workshops for girls in grades, you know, 10 to 12, and it's slowly been evolving into running workshops for women in general, and then also possibly getting into some businesses and doing some work with employees. So it's really, really exciting for me. And I mean, I could have never planned it, you know, and I'm really lucky, at least with my personality. I'm always looking for different opportunities and trying to figure out how I can be moving forward to follow my passions, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And that, look, that's a big story, you know, moving across the world to a different country. And as you said, moving away from a good position and moving away from family, it is a very big deal. But that sometimes, as you said, that you've done just following that little spark of something, isn't it? You know, I'm a very big goal setter as well, and have certain things forecast for the future. But and try not to follow those bright shiny lights that distract you from your goal. But sometimes there's a spark, something, and it's that, and it's finding that passion within yourself, isn't it? And I think that's what you've done with what you're doing now compared to the teaching role. It definitely sounds like it. I can hear that in your voice, that joy in it.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I think one of the biggest things and clarifications I give to women is I think people get stuck in the thought process of, you know, you have one purpose and you have one passion and you have to figure out what is that. And the way that I see it is, well, no, you have different passions. Like, I love sports. I love playing sports. It makes me incredibly happy. I love to cook. I love like helping people and self-development. I love psychology. Like, I have so many different things that I enjoy doing, but it's kind of trying to figure out, okay, well, maybe I could take some cooking lessons and that would like help make me happy. And maybe, you know, going to teaching, or like I wanted to be a psychologist too. So it's interesting how the two careers that I've really considered going into, I'm somehow kind of putting them together. And I think that's a really cool thing is when you start to follow all these different passions, sometimes you kind of hit this sweet spot where a couple of them will come together and you're kind of like, wow, like this is what it's about. And just educating people to, you know, if you don't know what you're passionate about, go find out, go try new things. Like, I'm really trying, especially since moving to Brisbane, because I've only been here about a year now, just saying yes to more things. So my partner and I just got into rock climbing in the last like 3 weeks. And I'm like, this is so much fun. I haven't mentally and physically been challenged like I have been with rock climbing. Right. And, you know, you talked to me a year ago and I would have been like, oh, like it sounds cool, but I don't know. So just really starting to find other things you might be interested in and you might not. Like I might've gone to rock climbing and been like, oh my gosh, like this is not fun. But it's just the point of trying new things to see maybe if that is something, and whether it's career related or just something that actually makes you happy. Cause it's important to have both of those things. Like sometimes when I sit down with people, or even in my workshops, I get them to write down lists of, okay, what are things that you can do every day that would make you happy? Whether it's reading for 10 minutes, maybe it's going for a run, you know, even 15 minutes, or having a cup of coffee and just having you time for five. It's those little things that maybe you can start to incorporate every day. And then what's something you can do every week? And then every month or every year, like having a trip for a week away. And so it's starting to actually think about, okay, what makes me happy? Now, how can I start actually doing those and including those things into my life?
Yeah. Yeah. And finding those, that finding that, that joy in what you're doing. There's something that I did some workshops on a few years ago, and it was finding, and it's very much about what you've touched on. The usual questions you get in workshops is when you're doing self-development is, what do you value? You know, and everyone writes down the different things that they value. But this actually went a lot deeper, and it's the things that are of such higher value to you that you, they are who you are. You can't possibly live life without those particular values. And then to nut it down to just two. And as you said, very much so, when they intersect, then that's where you hit your sweet spot.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I actually did maybe a year ago something. I did an activity on core values.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had asked me my core values were, I don't know if I could have 100% answered. Like I would have been like, okay, like I know, like, for me, you know, family is really, really important. So it's really ironic. I'm across the world. My family is like, you were the one person who shouldn't have left. But yeah, I wouldn't have been able to really answer it. And through this activity, you're essentially supposed to narrow it down to three, but I could not narrow it down past five. I'm like, I'm literally not willing to give up anything. And when I looked at my list of words, it was happiness, passion, helping others, connected, and creating positive change.
Yes.
And I was thinking, oh my gosh, you know, this is literally my business.
Yes.
Like this is what I'm doing. How crazy is it? Like without even knowing it, like I've somehow created something that's so aligned with me as a person. And I can tell you right now, when I had to cut out family, the guilt inside of me was so, like, I actually was like, how do I like cut them out? Like they're so important. Like, I don't know how to do that. And I remember just like trying to rationalize it myself, being like, well, technically you did move across the world. Mm-hmm. They're still important to you, but at this place that you are right now in your life, it's not necessarily that core value. They're still very, very important and a value, but that's not where you are, if that makes sense.
Now that definitely makes sense. Yeah. That you haven't abandoned them. You just,
no,
you're just a long way from them.
I get a lot of guilt from them. Like every single time I talk to them, my sister's the worst, because she's just had, and I love her to death and she loves me and she just wants me to be happy. But she has a daughter, and her daughter's 1.5 now.
Mm-hmm.
And like the other day, she's like, so what I'm hearing is you're not coming home. And I'm like, well, Kayla, like, I love you, you know? And she turns around, let me remind you that you're missing out on your niece growing up. And I'm like, oh man.
It is.
But we Skype all the time.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And it is. I was going to say, us mothers are really good at guilting our children. You know, it's part of the job description that comes with it as well. But not. Yeah. And sisters do it as well. So yeah, they're doing a good job. But again, it's what, where you are at this particular time in space. It may be different in the future again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ideally, well, as far as my business goes, and I think right now that Australia has a better system for me to get this started. Like, I'll be completely honest, with your private schools and with them paying the fees and wanting their like kids to have more development,
mm-hmm.
it's ideal for what I'm creating and really like trying to get in there. Whereas Canada, like, it's public and Catholic schools, but they're both government funded.
Oh, right.
So there's not really that market. It's not the same, you know, like your school systems here, I'm really, really impressed with, actually. Like, I think I would have to say that your school systems, as far as like Calgary and Alberta goes, like the system and like what they offer is a lot better.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because people are always very, very quick to challenge our education system here in Australia. But then you've been in both environments and can recognize something that you see in the Australian one that you obviously think is better than what you had in the past in Canada. That's really interesting because I hear people pay out on it all the time in the Australian education.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, in the same breath, I mean, when you're spending, you know, how much money a year for your child to go to private school, like I would think as a parent, they better be getting a lot more than a public school.
Yeah.
Because we only have a few private schools, like, and I didn't even know anybody that went to a private school,
okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just totally different because private school is just a normal thing here.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I think that sort of accounts for nearly half of the students that get educated is through private schools, whether it is your local Catholic or Christian school or your top GPS schools as well. So, no, that's interesting.
Yeah, but how awesome is that with those private schools, you know, they have the opportunity to be able to like hire someone like me or other organizations that are really trying to help them be more well-rounded, resilient people.
Mm.
Like that's phenomenal. Like how I ended up first developing my business was based on all of the lessons I had learned, thinking, oh my gosh, why had nobody taught me this when I was in school? Why had nobody made me think about this differently or, you know, challenge this for me? And essentially it was just kind of here, learn what I wish I would have learned. Like that's how it really started.
And that makes a lot of sense. There's so many things. And you've said the word resilience so many times, and that's exactly what it is. And, you know, sitting here from my generation, you know, with friends, we talk about this loss of resilience with children now because they're being pampered so much that they're not being enabled to consider how to build that inner strength and that inner self-confidence so that they do have resilience and that they can take on something when they're challenged and have tools and ideas and be able to approach it without a meltdown or, you know, and suicide rates are so high in this country as well with young people. So, you know, it's absolutely vital that these type of subjects are covered and topics are learnt from the time you're young so that you can take them with you all the way through your life.
I know. It's kind of hard, you know, looking at like even from like, I'm not that old, but I'm older. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And it's hard to look at the younger generations and, you know, high school and just how different they are to when I went to school.
Mm.
I think, I can't remember, when did cell phones come in? I think I got mine in like grade 8 or something. And like, it was a brick. It was this yellow brick my dad gave me from, you know, work, and everyone like made fun of me, you know, but like, at least I had a cell phone.
Right.
And then like how they are now and how it's literally a part of you.
Mm.
When you don't have your phone and you've left the house, you're like, oh my gosh. And then it's the addiction and the dopamine release from Facebook and from social media and Instagram. And if you don't get enough likes, like it's a totally different world and how it's so aesthetic now.
Mm.
It's all about the way you look and are perceived. And I couldn't imagine growing up, you know, with all of this different pressure, but then you couple that with parents both working full time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not around their children as much, you know, like I remember when I was teaching, asking my one of my classes, and I was like, guys, just out of curiosity, how many of you do I see more than your parents in a week?
Mm-hmm.
And 3/4 of them raise their hand.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Like, holy, like how, like, and that just really reiterated the fact of how important are these teachers as role models?
Mm.
You know, like,
yeah, and that's one of your beliefs, isn't it? There's not enough positive role models in the lives.
No, no. Well, I mean, think about it. Like, who's a positive role model right now? For if you're a teenager, like at one point, Miley Cyrus,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and everyone's talking about her. Well, like, it's just, I don't know how to explain it. And I think, Yeah, it's just a hard place. And I mean, there's so many factors that have kind of contributed to what, you know, the issues are now with these younger generations kind of coming up. Like even the work ethic, it's like you expect without doing the work. Mm-hmm. But that's all just kind of how society's kind of gone. And I guess where I more so fit in is, okay, this is where it's at right now. How can I help you? What do you need? Like, and I think the biggest thing is just really having them acknowledge their thoughts and their self-talk, mm-hmm. and just starting to make them think, even just plant little seeds. You know, like when I run workshops, I say, if I can teach you one thing, I've done my job. Mm. One thing.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's just, the feedback has been phenomenal. Like as a teacher, you always know within your classroom, you're going to have a couple of students that are just going to fall between the cracks or, you know, have so much going on and you're trying to help everybody. But you just, you know, you're always going to have one or two of them. So statistically, and when I run workshops, like the one was, you know, 180 grade 10 girls. And I'm thinking, okay, like I know probably, you know, so many of them are going to have really negative feedback for me. And that's fine. Like I'm preparing myself that, you know, who knows what's going on in their life. Like really just not take that on board personally, but like reflective and understand that they have a lot going on. I haven't had like any bad reviews.
Wow. That's
like, it has actually been mind blowing when I read them. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like how has nobody started doing this? Like the last that I was reading, I remember one girl and she was like, you know, I kind of heard about you and what you were going to come and talk to us about today. And I thought, you know, my headspace is fine and I'm not going to learn anything. And she's like, was I ever wrong? Mm-hmm. I walked out and you've completely changed the way I've thought and made me really reflect on wanting to be better. And I was just like, what?
Isn't that
like,
fantastic?
How awesome is
how
that?
How rewarding is that? You know, that.
Oh,
that's crazy, really, isn't it? Just to get that sort of feedback, you know, as coaches, both that's what we love, isn't it? When you know that you've changed somebody so they are going to do things in a more beneficial way. That's why I coach, exactly the same thing. You know, it's just that love of doing it.
I definitely have a passion for it. And it's just fantastic getting the feedback. I mean, my big life goal is to help to positively change the world. And I feel like with her future in my business, like that's that little step, but being a role model for all these young women who need someone is really, really cool.
Yeah, that's important. And look, I hadn't really even considered who are the role models in society for the young women. And looking at it, it really is the ones that are either singers or entertainers of some sort, whether actors. And, yeah, a lot of the singers probably aren't the best role models because, you know, that's their livelihood is to, you know, create controversy usually. But it would be – none of them – I don't – know of any of them that step out, whether actors or singers or somebody that's in the limelight all the time, and talk about these subjects and talk about assisting the youth coming through, the young women coming through. So there's nobody I can see, unless you've got some ideas on people that are doing that, but I can't think of anybody.
I mean, it's hard. It's funny how like the way society shifted and like celebrities are like so important, mm-hmm. you know? There's definitely some that have spoken out and created, like in my mind, really positive role model. I don't know if you know, like Emma Watson.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's spoken at the UN, and she actually is really in there, like speaking for women, and having like that kind of positive, effect, mm-hmm. I guess. And then, you know, Malala, like the Malala Fund and everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's another one for me, but I remember reading this, I can't remember where I read it a while ago now. And it was saying how, you know, everybody knew that for, I don't know if it was Kylie Jenner, one of the Jenner girls, the younger ones, for her 18th birthday, I think she got a Lamborghini.
Right.
And then how everyone knew that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but Malala had opened a school for like young girls and stuff, mm-hmm. and how positive that was. And yet no one knew about it.
Yeah. So,
and it was just one of those moments where I thought, why? Like, why is that the way it is that people are like, I want to be rich and famous and everything else, but like actually creating some type of positive impact in the world isn't really looked upon in the same way or the same regard? Or it's just that we haven't planted enough seeds in the generations coming up of how important that is and how, you know, the world is going to be theirs. Mm. Like, we'll be gone in how long, and how it's going to end up is totally up to them. Like, those are the generations coming up. So what do you want it to be like? What's important to you? And really making them think about those deep, you know, conversations and stuff.
Yeah. And that, I like the way that you've, you know, you're talking about that, planting that seed and having that deep conversation. And then that sort of leads them on to finding those people to model as well, depending, you know, they might be into environmental or creating a, you know, a, as you said, new schools in third world countries or whatever it is. But it then changes that perspective, doesn't it? So that their world isn't just what's happening at school or what's happening on social media, but it's a much bigger and more diverse, and there's just a different space that they can look out and see the world from outside themselves. That is just so powerful, to be able to give the young women that ability just to shift their focus.
Yeah, you know what actually really, really helps with that? And I don't know how it is in Australia. I haven't actually looked into it. Volunteering, giving back, doing something. I started volunteering with Big Night Out. It's an organization which helps create more inclusion, and they have like a monthly dance party for all kinds of different people, but mostly with disabilities. Right. And I remember the first time I went, I can't even explain it. Like, explaining it now would do it no justice, but it's like, think of a little, like a night out, like a party, but everyone is so incredibly happy. Like, this is their one event all month that they get to go and be social and just dance and not have a care in the world. And just that like energy and that vibe of like how happy these people are, like that's worth me going for 3 hours, you know, to supervise and do stuff. But just being around that and really learning to be so grateful and appreciate how lucky you are. And whether that's, you know, something like Big Night Out or making food hampers or helping with animals, if your passion is for animals. But I really see like volunteering so important, especially with these different generations that are so used to getting everything, to understand how lucky they are. Because I feel like it's so much expectation of like, oh, I just should get this job, or oh, I should just get this car when I'm 16. Rather than a, wow, I'm actually really lucky to have the family I have, because at least my parents are, you know, they love me.
Yeah. Yeah. I hadn't even considered that with volunteering. I helped with some animals in Thailand a few years ago and spent a week there. It was very cool, feeding monkeys and doing things, and it was great. But there was some disadvantaged youth that came over with a teacher. Now, he works with these students. We're from Sydney, and he works with these students, and they raise funds for something to do with the, I think it's called Friends of Thailand, and they raise funds for it, and then they come out and they build the pond or build the building to house the animals or whatever they do. So they spend the week there working really hard. But these kids, we spent New Year's Eve with them, and I was amazed at their joy and their passion for what they were doing. It was a blessing just to be in their space, because they were loving who they were and what they were doing so much. And they came from really tough lives. But you could see that because their focus was outside themselves and in giving, their whole lives were turning around.
Yeah. Well, giving, like that, the act of giving, like it creates that happiness within you, right? Because you're doing something for someone else, but you're creating someone else's happiness. Like, you're affecting other people, which is why it's so important to give. I was listening to a podcast saying how the longest ongoing study for people in life is just over 80 years, I believe. Now we're getting up to that point. And it was looking at what creates actual happiness.
Mm.
and they ended up following these teenage boys. Some were from like the Harlem, others were gonna go through to Harvard. So some were really, really educated and some were not educated. So they didn't wanna have it like only one side. And so every year they would send them surveys asking, you know, different questions and stuff. And the consensus of when these people were happiest had to do with relationships and connections. And so the biggest finding they found was, okay, well, how do you create happiness? Like, what's that big thing that's actually going to determine whether or not you're happy throughout your life? And it's the positive relationships and that community that you end up creating. And it's really, really shifted even for me, understanding that. Because if you do think about it, like, think of all the happy times you've had in your life, you know, and usually it's surrounded by certain people, or, you know, you've created a moment or done something that you worked really hard for. But for the majority, it's to celebrate something or be around those people or have those relationships. Well, when you don't have those, how much are you affected? And I mean, even for me moving across the world, like, I can tell you firsthand, I've really struggled to not have my family and friends around in the beginning. And I'm a huge connection person. So that just for me generally is really, really important. But I really, really have figured out, especially for me, I need to foster and really grow those relationships and find new relationships and everything else, because that's important. But in general, like, that was their consensus, was the relationships, positive relationships that you have.
Yeah. And through life, you know, even the, you know, the tragedies that happen around the world where people have, you know, taken weapons into their hands, it's usually the kids that are loners and they are missing that group connection, isn't it? It seems to be, and that sort of reinforces exactly what you said, but on an extreme level.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you look at it, like, I know in the States and stuff, for gangs and gang members, a big thing with that is that they're now part of a community. You know, they might have been like odd man out and like a loner before, but, and even though it's such a negative and toxic environment, well, they're part of something. So yeah. People, I remember Brené Brown, I've been listening to lots of her stuff, and she was saying people want to fit in. Like, that's like, fitting in is such like an essential need of, you know, and being wanted. But there's a big difference between fitting in and belonging. She's like, if you have to try to fit in, you don't belong. You know, belonging is so different, but like, actually that feeling of it, like, and think of the last time that you felt like you belonged. Like, how good does that feel? You walk in a room, you see someone, they're so friendly and you're like friends with them and whatnot. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, that's such a good feeling. Well, if you walk in a room and you don't have that and you're trying to, like, you know, talk to people, but you're really self-conscious about what you're saying and stuff, like, it totally changes the dynamics, and that self-talk steps in, you know, on that subconscious level. So, and getting into that, like, I love just educating people on, you know, the conscious and the subconscious. Well, what are you saying to yourself on a regular basis? Like, what are those things that you've implanted into your subconscious that you don't even recognize you're saying now, but that can change your mood?
Yes. And so what's an example of a habit that someone can use to help shift that self-talk?
I have a couple different habits. I really like, well, probably my favorite. I have two favorite ones. IAMs, a really easy one. IAMs are just really easy.
IAM.
You create it like a list of words that either you already are or that you want to be. So for example, and I put mine at the end of my affirmation paragraphs that I read every day, but it's, I am whole, perfect, strong, powerful, smart, resilient, rational, loving, kind, healthy, fit, and happy. And then you kind of just put different words depending on your mood, you know? So if you're having a really hard day and you feel like you're making a lot of mistakes, like, I might just be like, I am smart, or I am intelligent, or talk to myself and just reiterate that. But you can create little words and stuff and put them on your mirror or put them on your fridge and put them in different places. And then every time you see them, you're really reiterating that. And you're essentially trying to take it from a conscious level into a subconscious level. So just being aware of what you're actually saying to yourself. I've done this activity before and I know the women found it really confronting, but it was really, really powerful. And I got them to actually write out a list. I'm like, okay, I want you to write out a list of all the things that you say to yourself on a regular basis in a day. what are the things you say, whether they're positive, negative, but I want you to write stuff down, right? It's very personal. No one wants to share it with anybody. Mm. That's fine. And like having them write down stuff and actually look at the things that they say. Mm-hmm. Some of them really struggled and was like, oh, I cannot believe that that's what I say to myself. Now that I'm looking at it, you know, and it's actually on paper, that's different. And just like, well, would you say that to your best friend? You know, like, yeah. And it's trying to, and you've heard that all the time. Like, you wouldn't say it to your best friend. Why would you say it to yourself? Mm-hmm. And then I think the most important thing from that is then looking at that list. And I said, okay, take your top three ones that bother you. And I want you to flip it into a positive. And now I want you to really acknowledge every time that you say it into that positive. Obviously, you're still going to say it because it's a habit, right? Mm. But, you know, if you say, oh, I'm dumb, every time, oh, okay, I'm smart. Like, I am smart. And just trying to really change that self-talk. I think it's interesting because, and I don't know if everyone does this, but I think just naturally, I've always learned, well, just naturally, to talk myself up. Like I've had this instinct. I remember going for my first teaching interview and I was told, like, you know, fresh out of uni, I wasn't going to get into teaching and I would have to relief teach probably the first 2 to 3 years because there were not a lot of jobs and too many teachers and I was brand new. Mm-hmm. And like my dad sat me down as I was sending through a resume and was like, Courtney, I love you, but I just don't want you to be too disheartened, you know, if you don't get the job. And I talked to all my friends who are teachers and they said, you're probably not going to get it. And I remember kind of being a little hurt. Mm. And I want to say disappointed in my dad, but I understand, like, you know, where he was coming from in the same breath. And yes. I remember going into that interview and thinking to myself, I'm going to nail this interview. Like, I'm going to get this and I'm going to tell my dad and I got this and really talking myself up and like, you know, being present and whether or not I totally believed it or not, you know, like I'm still like shaking going into there being like, oh my gosh. And there's four different people sitting around with a piece of paper and each one's asking questions and they're all writing it down. Very intimidating, but I walked in and I totally talked myself up because I wanted it. And I knew that talking myself in a positive way and building myself up would give me the confidence to walk in there and handle it how I wanted to handle it rather than walking in and being like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe that I've got this interview. I'm probably not going to get it. My dad said this, this person said, you know what I mean? So really learning to set yourself up in those different scenarios and having that positive self-talk. So that's a prime example of using those different I ams in a real life scenario. And I've used it going into meetings, you know, before I do like big talks with people, like I have to definitely like, you're nervous. Like even for the podcast, I was like, okay, it'll be good. Like, you know, you'll be fine. You'll, and you're just like reiterating.
And you're doing great. It's a conversation. That's what I said.
But yeah, that's really important. So I definitely like the IAMs. The thing is with some of the tools, they're not for everybody, you know, and I might really like the IAMs. And someone else might like the gratitude way more. Although I love gratitude. I think that is probably hands down my absolute favorite. Like
I have been doing a grateful thing before I go to sleep every night for years. And I sort of get to the first three and then I fall asleep. I sort of wake up the next morning and go, oh, I was grateful for a lot more things. I'll do them tonight instead. But it does. It just, you look at little things. And I've been doing an Instagram post for 696 posts each day. For something that I've been grateful for that day. And the other day it was even just that I can record the TV shows and watch them late at night. It was a photo of my recordings on the TV just because it's something simple to be grateful for. But when you go looking for it every day, it really makes you focus and realize just how many wonderful things you have in your life.
Yeah, it's funny. Have you read The Gratitude Diaries?
Yes, I did a long time ago. But
That's probably, I just wrote a book review on it on my blog. And I think that's one of my top favorite books now, like if not the top one. It just really hit me and I don't know what I am and just really reiterated what I like and why. And I really enjoyed how there's so much science to back it now.
Mm.
you know, but she ended up doing, and I'm sure you'll remember, like each month or each different segment was gratitude for different things. And the first month was gratitude for her relationship with her husband and how she was explaining, you know, he's a pediatrician and some nights he'd get called into work and she'd get frustrated at him and kind of angry thinking, well, why can't somebody else go? And I want to, like, you know, stay in bed with you and whatnot. And when she flipped it, she ended up being like, well, rather than being mad at you, how amazing is it that you're there to be able to help somebody that needs you? Yeah. That's a pretty good thing. And just how every day she said that she said one thing that she was grateful for about him and one thing that she appreciated that he had done lately. And I started doing that with my partner and it really changed the relationship, like just more positive. And then he starts telling me things and then he's, you know, we kind of both start doing more for each other. So it's so funny how just something so simple and creating that little habit can really change your life.
Yeah. No, that's really important. Actually, that's a good point to remember. I think I might revisit that.
I've been telling everybody. I've been like, you know what book you need to read? The Gratitude Diaries. And then my friend was like, is it on audiobook? I'm like, no, I've accidentally bought it 2 times because I thought one was an audiobook. So no, it's definitely not.
So it's not on audio. I was going to ask that because that's how I read books, is by audio.
Oh, I love audiobooks. I know. And I struggle with that sometimes just because I love listening to them in my car when I'm driving and stuff. And but now I'm obsessed with podcasts.
Yeah, that's why I love podcasts as well. It's just for both.
Yeah, and you can learn about so many things. I'm loving podcasts. I've got some really good ones. There's one and it's Stuff You Should Know. I've learned the most random things, but being able to have conversations with people about them, they're like, I was hanging out with one of my girlfriends probably a couple weeks ago. The end of our hangout session, she's like, you know so many different things. I'm like, I'm so impressed. I'm like, it's podcasts.
It's really cool. I was talking to someone yesterday because I've been reading Reader's Digest for years and years and years. And said, who does that? That's an old people's thing. Why do you do that? And I said, well, people keep saying the things to me. They go, how do you know that? And I go, it's from Reader's Digest, but the same thing.
That's
it makes
funny.
You sound really cool. Hey, we've been talking for quite a while here, and we're sort of up to takeaway points now, Courtney.
Okay.
So tell me what you particularly want the listeners to go away with today. If you've got 3 points that are the most important ones, you think this is it, do this.
Okay. Can I really quickly, before I say that, there was one other tool that I really wanted to talk about that I really enjoy. So gratitude, even though I mentioned IAMs, I think IAMs are really important. It's not probably one of my top two. So gratitude is probably number one. But the next one, and a lot of people haven't, like, they've kind of heard about it, but not really in this context. And I really think, like, the law of attraction is so important, right? Like, the frequencies that you give off is what you end up attracting. So if you're in a really negative headspace, you end up attracting all that negativity. And it's the same opposite. So if you're really, really in a positive one, you start attracting all those positive things. And I think one thing that's really, really helped me and I think is just so incredibly powerful, and I don't know if you've heard about it before, but it's the affirmation paragraphs. And so it's a little bit of a shift on affirmations. So you know how you have an affirmation and it's like a little sentence and it's supposed to like help you to be more happy. I have an app on my phone, which if you guys want affirmations, look up apps because they're fantastic. And what you end up doing with it is you create your own perfect life.
Okay.
And you write it in the present tense. And like, I have one on my career. I have one on my, you know, friends. I have one on health, on Australia, you know, just in general. And so you end up writing this, like, mine's like 2 pages and it's all these different, like this perfect life. And the biggest thing with it is you're supposed to include feelings. So if you can include feelings into these visualizations, it really creates more power behind them. But I end up reading it and, you know, it says, all my friend, like I have a lot of really good friends that love me for who I am. And we have so much fun together. We go on adventures, but each one of them brings something really special to my life. And I also bring something special to their life and just kind of like having it in that present tense. And so when you read this, it's not only like putting out those like positive vibes, but I have never been able to read it and not be happy after.
Wow.
Because it's your ideal life. And so I'll read mine probably about 5 times, and it depends how fast. Like, I have, you know, my perfect relationship, and I can tell you right now that when my partner, like, when he sees it, he's like, yeah, good luck. Like, you know, because I'm like, oh, and there's romance, and we make, and, you know, there's all this different stuff. We're getting there, but yeah, so
what
it's not
call it? An affirmation.
Affirmation paragraphs. I don't even know if that's the correct term.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But it's just something that, you know, I've done, and the feedback I've gotten from it. I haven't actually been able to run it in any of my school workshops because it takes a little bit more time. Mm-hmm. But in the workshops I've run for women in general, they've loved it. You know, even a couple of my girlfriends that I've run with them, it's definitely a really, really good one. It takes a lot more time. And I know when I talk about it, like even on here, I think it's still a little bit confusing. Like, some of the workshops I've actually had to do more one-on-ones with some people afterwards to really clarify and help them. And people have really struggled with being able to create that depending on what their headspace is too. But that one, I love that one. I really, really do. That's a really powerful one. And anybody can contact me if they have questions about it too.
Okay. Look, and that's really a great takeaway. I mean, the gratitude and to do those affirmation paragraphs, I mean, they're fabulous takeaways. Already.
Yeah, no, they definitely
go and apply straight away.
Yeah. So if I had to say my 3 takeaway points, and I've had to really think about this, and you know, if this is the only 3 things that people were going to hear from what I was going to say, the first one is learn to love yourself first.
Mm.
And to really be aware of your self-talk. Because if you can learn how to talk positively to yourself and build up that confidence, you can really learn to change your life. It really starts with like how you feel about you though. So I think that's the first one. So really learning to love yourself first. The second one, figure out what makes you happy and to start incorporating that into your life. Whether that's the relationships or hobbies or, you know, just hanging out with friends, just really starting to think about those little and big things that make you happy. Cause that, you know, life is so short and you want to enjoy it. So
and that'd be different for different people too, obviously.
Though. Oh, totally. Oh, I mean, my sister, I'm talking to her about my niece and I'm like, so do you think she's going to play sports? Like, I was like super athletic growing up. My sister was not athletic at all. And she was like, no, I hope she's smart. And I was like, what? I want my kid to be
both.
Yeah. It was just so funny though. She has no interest in her kid liking sports. I mean, if she does, it's totally fine. But it was just funny, the different headspace, you know? And I mean, Kayla, we have family trips to Mexico we used to do, and we would have a team family volleyball. And so like pretty much my whole family was like really good volleyball players and stuff. And Kayla would not play with us. So her, it's like playing sports and playing volleyball in Mexico, not for her.
Yeah.
But like, I love it. So people are so incredibly different. And then the last one I would say is learn to be grateful and to appreciate all of the amazing things that you have in your life, because you do.
We sometimes miss them, as we've talked about, don't we? That's just... I did a speech a couple of years ago, and it talked about we focus on the red lights in our life, but not the green lights. We will complain that we've had 5 red lights to get somewhere, but we may not have noticed that 3/4 of the drive we had a green light all the way. And it's just finding those green lights, isn't it?
I think that's also a little bit of habit.
Mm.
If I'm being totally honest. You know, and that little bit of like learning to be optimistic, like to shift your head, the silver lining.
Mm.
You know, find the silver lining. Like, there's lots of people that could complain about things. And here's what I think might be a little bit of the problem as well. It's easier to complain. It's easier to be lazy. It's easier to be that way. It's harder to create those habits, and it's harder to stay doing them. But I mean, once you start to
become that habit, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, once you start to actually live that way, like you want to feel that way because you feel so good.
And absolutely. You know, that's the shift, isn't it? My brother-in-law tells me I have a Pollyanna attitude, and I go, it's so much fun. It's much better than finding the problems and finding the issues. And he would say, yeah, but you're not living in the real world. And I'm thinking, but my real world is just full of beautiful sunsets and, you know, other stuff goes on and there's frustrations in days and that. But you're trying to find that it just becomes automatic, going, oh, well, at least that, you know, at least it's not that, or it's at least it's good, or they've agreed to do, you know, you find every little point that goes, I can, yeah, that's fine. I can have my Pollyanna attitude. I'm going to keep it.
Nothing wrong with that. Hey, I like to be around people that are more positive.
Mm.
Like, you know, and like surrounding yourself with those kinds of people that are going to build you up. Like, I think that's really important. It's funny how when I was younger, I never really agreed. Like, I was pretty, not strong-headed, but like very confident. And, you know, I had friends that did all kinds of bad things and I didn't. Like, I was into sports and stuff. And I was probably not a norm because most people would fall into doing things that their friends did and stuff. But as I've gotten older, I'm like, man, I believe that. Like, you are who you surround yourself with. So I've definitely, especially because I've had to rebuild my life here now, I want those awesome people.
And the other is exhausting as well. And that's where, you know, whether it's, you know, young people or whatever age, that negativity hanging on to it is very exhausting. I know when I spend time in company of people who are continually like that, I feel exhausted. So I can't imagine how tired they must be because they're hanging on to that all the time.
I know, but I don't even think they know.
No.
And the thing is, like, until they start to create those habits to change that headspace, they probably won't know.
Mm. Yeah, really.
But I mean, people have to want to change. Like, at the end of the day, like, I could go on about all kinds of stuff. And if someone isn't actually like, you know what, like, I'm at a point where I need to change. Like, Tony Robbins is saying, people actually don't make the decision to change until they realize that their past, present, and future is in pain related to that.
Mm.
And that's when all of a sudden they're like, okay, something needs to change. But until that point, they just keep coasting.
And that would be something that you're finding with the young students, that they're open to ideas and change. Obviously, the way you're presenting it is really well if you're getting such positive feedback.
I know. You know what? I think it's different because, one, I'm not their teacher. Mm. So even though they have probably a really good relationship with their teacher, it's like this outside person who I still am pretty young. I look young, you know, and I have all these like valid life lessons that I've personally learned related to it. So everything that I talk about, I have a story for it, you know, and how it's affected me, or how this, you know, how I did this and I should have done that and all these different things. And I think that probably one of the most common comments I get is how relatable I am.
Mm. And having stories are powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I don't know. I feel like I'm going down a path I was meant to do.
Mm.
And that's super, super exciting for me. I have no idea where it's going to take me. I'm very, very excited. And I'm just trying to look for all those different opportunities that I can. Like, I do know when I started Her Future, how it's kind of changing. It's definitely changing with me. Like, I think I'm getting more mature and more professional and, you know, understanding what's important. But I think I'm eventually going to end up having like the Her Future for young women. But now I'm also finding that I'm branding myself like Courtney Dawn, and I want to become an expert within that as well and brand me for, you know, older people or the women in general, not just the young ladies, which is kind of cool too.
Mm.
So it's definitely like changing from that idea I had only in schools in the beginning into, you know, I run workshops for some female gyms and looking into getting into some businesses and running some just on weekends and evenings. So it's definitely exciting for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's sort of where we started off too, Courtney, was talking about that passion and the desire just to create that, to make those big changes in the world so that you can make a huge impact and work towards positivity out there for everybody.
Just the little steps at first, right?
yeah, little steps. And it all helps, and it builds on and it builds on and builds on as well. You know, there's so much opportunity to, you know, you change one person's life and you don't know the effect that one person's going to have on somebody else. So it's any little bit you can do is beneficial. That's one of the reasons I do the podcast, is because, you know, I interview so many interesting people with great ideas, and some people have similar sort of stories and messages to share, but it's how it's heard and whether it impacts one person, and then they can take it away and impacts somebody else, and it becomes a, you know, a powerful ripple of positivity and ideas and different ways of thinking and you know, building confidence and whatever the conversation's about. I just love it. So
yeah, no, podcasts are definitely really, really, really important, especially for information now, because they're easy and accessible.
Yeah.
Right. So that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. So I know that you sort of want people to reflect on their lives and where they are right now. So, you know, sort of what's just leaving it with that is that reflection. And
Okay. Well, I mean, if anybody wants to get in touch with me, they're more than welcome to. I love meeting people and I love just building those relationships. And it's so interesting where life ends up taking you. You meet this one person and they connect you to this other person, or, you know, so I'm open for whatever, and people can always contact me via email or through my website. And I also offer some mentoring. So I don't call it coaching. It's more like mentoring. And if anybody wants to attend a workshop, or even I've had people talk to their friends and have get their friends together to just do a workshop. So it's more personalized and stuff. Mm-hmm. And other than that, just, you know, having me run workshops for their business or in their school. Like if you know a school, or your daughter goes there, or a niece or somebody, and you think that this would be a good program, like contact me or contact the school. I've had schools contact me as well. Because it's, I really truly believe in it, and I really wish they had something like this when I was in school, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's highly valuable. So you can, everyone, you can contact Courtney on a website. So it is herfuture.com.au, or on Instagram is her_future, or on Facebook it's @herfuturematters. And your email address is her.future.matters@gmail.com. That's an incredible amount of information and just so valuable. And it's been such an interesting conversation, Courtney. And I see what you're doing is going to make a big difference in the lives of young ladies and all women. So thank you very much for your time today. And I'm looking forward to see the changes that you're going to make in the world.
Oh, thanks so much, Janine. I really appreciate it. And thank you for having me on.
Lovely. Thanks, Courtney. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.